I think we've got ourselves a little mini series going here because we're about to look at the same part or portion of a verse that we've looked at for the past 3 weeks. So this week makes our fourth week in a row, which I consider, if you teach on something 4 weeks in a row, it is a mini series. So we now have ourselves within the series of Counting on God, a mini series on abiding in His words. And we're focusing again this week on John 15, 7 and 8, just a portion of that passage. And it says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you bear much fruit." And what I wanted to do for just a brief few minutes, I know you've got your papers, I know you can get it on the website, but I really felt like I needed to do a brief review to kind of bring this some order to where we've been so that it'll kind of help us to put today in context. But the first week, week five, we had four P's that we looked at, four principles from this verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Specifically focusing on the part about His words abiding in us. We talked about penetrating words, and we distinguished between the logos, written word, and the rhema, spoken word. And what we said was that God uses the Holy Spirit to take of His words and disclose them unto us. So we have logos, written words, that He uses to speak rhema words to us, and that's the spoken word. And we said that the Holy Spirit is the agent that does that. He's the Spirit of truth that tells us in John 16. And we said that how we do that is when we abide. In the past, we've used the meditate is the same thing. If we abide in His words, then we shall know the truth. It becomes personal to us. We'll know it personally, and the truth shall set us free. So it's that faith-bearing word that comes when it becomes that rhema personal word to us. So that is when the principle becomes personal. And the promise that I ask everyone to really ask themselves, do I believe this was found in John 10, 27, that my sheep hear my voice? And the challenge is, do I believe that this little sheep right here, you, me, that sheep hears His voice? And we talked about that basically takes some practice for us to learn to recognize His voice. And so we've spent the next couple of weeks talking about how we can practice that and internalize that. And the challenge we basically left with that day was to listen to Him. You know, that's... And that is a challenge. Listening is an art that we have to cultivate. And so that is a challenge that we talked about on week five. Then week six, we looked at the parable that's found in 1 Peter 2:2, the parable of the nursing infant. And what we found was that we're charged to be like that nursing infant, to drink the pure spiritual milk of the Word. And that as we do that, that's what's going to cause us to grow spiritually. And that just like that little baby has to be close to his mama to get that milk, that helps us to grow in intimacy with the Lord because we have to draw near to Him. Just like that little bitty engrafted piece of branch when we were engrafted into the vine has to stay really close in order to grow. Same. And then we said that as we learn to drink the pure spiritual milk of the Word, and as it starts bearing fruit in our lives, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have a trust relationship that's built with Him. So we'll gain some confidence in that. We've got some barriers, though. We looked at preconceived notions, which is basically judging ourselves maybe as unworthy or unable to hear. We compare sometimes, and we judge the way we, God and me, versus how God and somebody else might do it. And partial understanding is just part of it, that God is not going to unfold the whole of life in one big lump. It's one of those things that we have to walk in progressive light, that the path of the righteous, it says in Proverbs 4:18, is like the dawn that is brighter and brighter until the new day. And so we have to learn to live with that tension of a partial understanding and know that we need to just keep seeking Him until it begins to come to the full understanding that we want. And Jesus, we used the episode when the disciples forgot bread three times in a row, and Jesus said that the reason that they didn't fully benefit from what had happened and the words he had spoken to them, three reasons were reasoning or analyzing, hard hearts, and forgetfulness. And so those are things that we have to battle as well. And then we talked about being preoccupied, and then the synonym for that would be having an agenda. And what we are challenged with, and I know I'm still challenged with this on a pretty regular basis, I mean, like that would be daily, weekly kind of basis, is the challenge to leave it to God to choose the subject matter, the timing, and the method that he wants to use to convey his message to us personally and to confirm it, because he is so good at just confirming. If he's got something he wants you to get, he will consistently confirm that for you. And so be on the lookout for those, because he's really good at doing that. And feel free to ask him for that. And then last week, we talked about the filter of faith and how hugely important it is in everything that we do. But specifically in this thing about having his words abide in us, so we've got to believe. I mean, that's the first entry-level thing that must be cultivated, and Romans 12:3 tells us that we each have received a measure of faith, so that faith is in there. And so what Jesus is doing when he calls us to believe me, is he's calling forth that measure of faith that's already within us and having it, speaking to it and having it to come to the front, rise up and be the thing that we use to filter all of life's circumstances through, versus looking at it from a human perspective, looking at our circumstances and going, okay, let's see, I'm looking at my circumstances and then I'm going to make an assumption on those about what's true or what's true of God or what's the truth. That's backwards. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. So what we learned then is that we, spiritually speaking, operate just the opposite of the world. In the world, seeing is believing. Not so for us. And we are going to miss God. We're not going to be able to hear him if we're operating on that assumption or on that principle, because that just doesn't work spiritually. But what we found is that sight, spiritual sight, is a byproduct of believing. Remember we said believing leads to perceiving, and that's in the spiritual. So faith leads to sight. Got to have that faith first. And I found another verse that I thought was a great one that reinforces that, and it was at the resurrection of Lazarus, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This is what Jesus said to Martha, John 11:40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So if we believe, we'll be able to perceive his glory. Isn't that cool? I thought that was a neat verse. And then receive. The challenge again last week was to go, okay, so what I'm receiving is really, really important. What is it I'm receiving? What messages am I taking in and assuming to be truth? And what we want to do is we want to put those up against the grid of Scripture and say, is it the truth or is it not? Because here's a verse that I should have said a long time ago, John 17:17. This is from the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And this is what he said. He prays to the Father. He said, "Father, sanctify them with truth. Your word is truth." God's word is the truth. And if we don't, I mean, y'all can get up and leave now. I mean, don't come back if you don't believe that. Or stay. I tell you what, how about this? Stay and listen to the testimonies and see, or test God and see, is his word not true? Really, that'd be the better thing for me to say. But I'm just saying, you really, we're wasting our time if we don't believe the word of God is true. You know? And so We want to be receiving the things that are consistent with Scripture. And then deceive was our last point, because quickly, y'all, we are deceived. The messages of this world, the messages of the enemy, and our own pride and our own flesh deceive us very quickly. And so we've got to stay close to the vine. We have got to abide in him, and we've got to let his words abide in us. And so I feel like it's important that we spend yet another week thinking about this thing of abiding in his word. And one of the things that the Lord put on my heart was that it was just like manna. It's a daily thing. It's a daily opportunity that we've got to take advantage of. And I was thinking of that verse where Jesus said, in the wilderness, he said, he quoted what God said in Deuteronomy 8:3, which is, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's our spiritual food. And so we want to take advantage of that amazing supernatural benefit that nourishes our spirit on a daily basis. And what it does, you know, not only does it nourish our own personal spirit, but it nourishes our relationship with Jesus as we choose to listen and obey the voice of truth. We've got to take time to listen. And I happened upon this verse this week that I thought was an amazing thing for us to ponder. It's Luke 4:21. And it was when Jesus, the setting of this verse, is when Jesus came into the temple. And he stood up in the temple, and they handed him the scroll, and he opened the scroll to the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And he read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And I've always said, it's sort of a little divine design thing that I brought from the corporate world, as the idea of a vision statement, that we would, all these one things that God has given us, all these personal words that God is speaking to us, are kind of our vision statement and the roadmap of what God wants to do in our lives. That's how he's communicating to us. And that Jesus even had a vision statement. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 was his vision statement. He stood up and he presented it to the people in the temple that day. And so this is what he said after he read that scripture. He said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, okay, hearing, faith, you know, seeing is not believing. What is believing? Hearing. Hearing is believing. And that day after day after day, the things that Jesus spoke in his vision statement are fulfilled as we hear them. And listen to what he says. He says, and as he says, "I've come to bring good news to the poor or the afflicted." I mean, I want to receive that today. I want to hear that afresh today. I want to believe that today, that God has some good news for me today. That he said that I came to bring release to the captives. So any place that I'm not in complete freedom in my life, that's the reason Jesus came. I want that to be fulfilled as I hear and listen to him and hear the voice of truth today. That he came to bring sight to the blind. For all the places I'm not seeing, I want Jesus' voice, the voice of truth. I want to hear, I want to listen, I want to believe, and I want more of that to be fulfilled by my hearing today. And then he says, he came to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Just think if we all believed that on a daily basis, that this is the year of God's favor, how it would make a difference in the way you approached your day and your tomorrow and your next day and your plans. So I just got a lot of charge out of thinking that. I think what he's saying to us to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, that he's telling us to join our words to proclaim with our mouths what he says is true in order to help us experience this fulfillment. So that kind of then led me to the next thing. That's kind of how I got here. And that we are to proclaim what he says is true. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, okay, God, you know what? That is a powerful tool for us to do, is to stand in agreement with what you say, not only with our minds, but with our mouths as well. And so I was reminded of this verse, Colossians 3:16, and I'm going to read that to you from the New Living. And it says this: let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. In the traditional versions, it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly. So the word let always alerts me that we have a choice, that it's our choice to let the words of Christ dwell richly in us. So let's discuss three strategies that we can use to do that. I'm going to go to Roman numeral 2 now, noise. And I want to use the, this is one of our strategies. I want to use the divine design diagram that's on the front of our notebooks, that three ring target shaped thing, just to kind of help us get in touch with this. Remember, the spirit is that inner circle, and then the next ring, that ring in the middle, is our soul, three parts, mind, will, and emotions. And then the outer ring is our body. So body, soul, spirit is the way we were made. That's our divine design. And how can we use this diagram to help the words of Christ dwell richly in us? Okay, I want to first start by addressing our minds. Okay, guys, I really am tempted to get a little soapbox, maybe two or three of them, and to stand up real tall and get on my soapbox and kind of preach on this topic. But I'm really holding myself back because we've got a lot of really great stuff to cover today. But there is so much noise in our world. There is so much noise in our world. There is so much noise in our world. And I loved singing. I really only sang by faith, Voice of Truth, two times in a row because I said I would. But as I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it, I thought, oh no, God knew what he was doing by having me to say that kind of spontaneously during class last week, is that I was just thinking all the other voices calling out to me, but the voice of truth. Y'all, we have so many other voices calling out to us, and so much noise and so much information. It is I'm overwhelmed even just breaking open this topic to talk about all the input that we receive mentally in a minute in our world, much less in an hour or in a day. How can the word of Christ dwell richly in our minds if we are letting, if we're exposing ourselves to so many data bites? And I know this is countercultural, and I know I sound like a dinosaur, and this sounds like something my daddy would have said, and me looking at him like, who are you, and where have you been? Have you been under a rock for the last three decades, you know? But, I mean, I think that we have such an information overload, and I'm not mad at anybody, I'm not judging anybody, and I sure don't know, because I'm the most culturally unplugged person that I know, and sometimes it's a little bit of a handicap. I don't watch a lot of television. I only watch TV to connect with my husband, although I've confessed that I've learned to enjoy it a little bit. But I don't really watch TV. I really don't keep up with the news. I don't really read current events magazines. I barely glance over the newspaper. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on tweet. I text only when I have to, and I do email. But, I mean, most people do all of that. Think about all the information you're taking in. And if you add tweet to that, oh my gosh. So I guess what I'm just saying is ask yourself. I'm asking the question. I don't, like I said, I don't live in that world. I'm challenged with too much information, and I don't do any of that. Or very little of it, I should say. So, I mean, just, it's a question. What all input are you allowing in your mind that creates so much noise that the word of Christ that you've put in there, you can't hear it because of all the other stuff that you're listening to. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I'm going to stop. Okay, so And I did want to add a verse, Proverbs 23:7, that says, as a man thinks, so is he. So whatever it is you're thinking about is going to pretty much determine the way your day goes and the way your life goes. So I think that's a very motivating verse. Let's talk about your will, and I'm just going to say a brief thing about that, that it's a choice. It's a choice what you choose to expose yourself to. And not only that, about how we either reinforce or we tear down the truth or the words of Christ with our words. What we choose to let in and what we choose to speak out impact that. And the verse that I found that I thought was a good reference for that is Proverbs 15:7 NIV that says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. So that's Proverbs 15:7. And there's lots of references on your handout this week that'll reinforce that. That's just one that we can put there. And then emotions. Let's talk about our emotions now. You know, the word of Christ abiding in us, I'm going to say, you know how we talk about taking it from your head to your heart? Here's a little diagram that I think maybe Campus Crusade or somebody, we stole this from somebody. But anyway, fact, faith, and feelings. Feelings are the caboose. You know, if we take it a fact that God's word is truth and that you marry that with faith, sometimes you're just going to be walking by faith and not by feelings. Sometimes your feelings take a while to catch up. They're the end of the line. So we want to, but what we do want to do is cultivate an open heart. We want to open our emotions. We want to open in sort of a risky kind of way to let what Jesus says and what God says in an emotional way. And I'm going to use a reference from 2 Corinthians 6, which is used, it was written by Paul to the Corinthians, and it was used for a horizontal relationship, but I think the principles apply to a vertical relationship as well. Listen to the way the Message renders 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13. It says, I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. If you look at it in the traditional rendering, it says, open wide your hearts. And I believe that that's our charge, is to open wide our hearts and to take the risk to push past our comfort zones and to let God touch us in a place that's tender. And actually drink his words down into the place where we actually feel those things that he's come to give us, comfort, freedom, and those other things we talked about just a few minutes ago. Love. How about love? That God so loved the world. And I, for my own part, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, and I believe it's true of all of us, is that it takes constant vigilance for me to keep all these elements of my being, my mind, my will, and my emotions available. I mean, I just think it's a challenge, and it's kind of a full-time job. So I want to talk about how we can use our own voice and our own choice of words to help us in this process. And this is Roman numeral 3. So what we want to do is we want to use our words to agree with what God says. And I think oftentimes we underestimate the power of the spoken word, but God doesn't. Listen to what God says in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So in other words, what he's saying is words are powerful. They're very powerful. And he tells us in Ephesians 4:15, Amplified, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. So he's saying that one of the ways that we grow spiritually is to let our words be words of truth, words that are his words. So in the past, what I've done is I found myself investing a whole lot of energy in putting God's will, God's word in my mind and choosing to obey and then trying to open wide my heart, you know, let him touch me in that vulnerable place. And then what I do is I tear it down with my very own words. I would speak completely opposite of the work I was doing on the inside. And it's very counterproductive. And I think this verse, Mark 3:24, is sobering, and it's helpful in saying what that does for us when our words don't agree with God's words. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. We don't want to be divided. We want to be united with what God says. So instead of being defeated by my mouth, I want to be using my mouth in a couple of ways. First of all, I want to use it as an x-ray. You know, last week we talked about God, letting God use his word to help us perceive what's true of us in our hearts. One of the ways we can do that very quickly is to listen to what we're saying with our mouths. We can perceive, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So our words kind of tell us what's going on with us, especially when in an unguarded moment, catch yourself saying things. So that's one of the ways. And then the other thing we want to do is that we want to, as we are getting these truths that we're seeking to abide in, we want to join them with our words, just like 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. It says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So across the years, I've realized the importance of our words, and I've come up with these little tools and techniques that I've used over the years. And so I made this tool called Articulation, and you've got it today. And I revised it this year, so if you've been here in the past, we've got a couple of new things on here. But one of the things, I'm talking from that paper for just a minute now, is the tool and technique of articulation. I've got four exercises on there, and one is making faith statements. And let me give you an example of a faith statement. Okay, last year I spent, well, really about 2 years ago, and even before that, the Lord showed me that I had a lot of different goals, and that when I was finding myself to be really frustrated or really irritated or just downright angry, what was often true of me was that I had a goal that was being blocked. And so the thing the Lord showed me is that really I'm to be like Paul, is to have one goal, and that's to know him. And that verse is Philippians 3:10. So for me, a faith statement is one of those things that I have on the ready that's a personal word, something that's really relevant to my circumstances, something that's really directly chosen for some of the issues I'm dealing with. And I'll have it sort of in my back pocket, and when that button gets pushed or when that issue comes up, the Lord will remind me. I pray, Lord, remind me of that truth in that moment. And so when I would feel myself starting to get irritated, and when I would find myself getting frustrated, or if anger would start bubbling up, it would be, ah, go, ding, 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 ding. And so in that moment, I would say, my goal is to know him, Philippians 3:10. My goal is to know him. Make that true of me, God, that my goal would be to know you, that my one goal would be to know you. So that's an example of a faith statement. And that one may work for you, but I would just say whatever it is you're dealing with circumstantially or issue-wise in life, as the Lord speaks, have that on the ready to speak into your circumstances. The second thing that I do, and I've had to do it a lot this morning, is to renounce and announce. And we talked about lies and deceit. Satan is the father of lies. It tells us in John 8:44. And so when I am not able to abide in the truth, when I'm not able to believe Jesus, when his words are not penetrating way down deep to my inmost being, one of the things I start doing is looking for what lie have I believed. And so when that happens, and especially in the moment when I'm battling against that lie, what I like to do is out loud, I renounce the lie. And the example I put on my paper was that I need to know. I have sort of a need to know button. I don't like being in the dark. I like predictable. I like to plan in advance. I like my ducks in a row. And so when I've got murky waters and we've got, you know, four possible scenarios out in the future, and I'm not sure where I'm, that makes me feel shaky. But what I'll say right then, I'll go, oh, that's that need to know button. So I'll say, I renounce the lie that I need to know. The verse I put with that is Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord. And then I announce the truth. And this is what does it for me. Maybe you've got another one that would do it for you, but the one I use for me is, I know the one who knows it all. And so I think, okay, God knows. I don't know, but God knows. He knows the end from the beginning, it says in Isaiah 46:10. And that's very comforting to me. So in that moment, I can renounce the lie and I can announce the truth, and it gets me over the hump when my button's being pushed. So that's what it looks like to renounce and announce and put your words with the truth. And then expressing agreement with God's word when your emotions are out of whack. I have just sort of expanded the I feel but God says thing from I feel but God says, and then I've added a column, therefore I will say. And just what you're basically doing is what I told you on the front end, is just finding a faith statement that you can say as you identify your feelings. And for me, in the last couple of weeks, this is my example. I feel tired. I feel so tired, Jesus. I feel so tired. You know, so I just needed to get my little whiny Freddy baby, give me my passy out. That I just wanted somebody to know how tired I was. So I feel tired. But God says, Isaiah 40:31, that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That was the verse that he gave me. Actually, he gave it to me through a song, but I found the verse that went with it. And so I will say, strength will rise as I wait upon the Lord. And then what I'll do is I'll get off into that little song, strength will rise. And somehow it helps. It helps me. And then we're going to talk about that now, because that's the next thing, is that's to sing. And it's number 4 on your tool and technique, but it's number... And it's also Roman numeral 4 on your outline. Let's go back to your outline and look at the topic of rejoice. And I want to spend a few minutes talk about rejoicing. And I guess a lot of you have probably already noticed that praise is a big part of what we do at Divine Design. And I would say in my own journey to know the Lord in a deeper way that singing is probably one of my top 5. Going from a desperate, fruitless Christian that I described to you back in the early 90s to someone who's really excited about her relationship with the Lord, praise is one of the things that has made a tremendous... I just can't even tell you the difference. In fact, let me tell you how I kind of got into it. I mean, I had been exposed to it a little bit. And I went away for a prayer weekend way back... I tried to find out where this was, and I just didn't have time to pull out all my journals to figure out what year it was, but it was early, and my children were very, very little. And I remember my mother standing there in the driveway with Jackson and Mira Lee, and they were, I mean, this tall. And I pulled out of the driveway to go on this prayer weekend, and it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And I got there, and we praised. Kind of about half the time we spent singing praise songs to God. I'd never been around that. Y'all, I will just tell you, let me tell you how big of an impact 2 days or 2 half days or 2 probably 1/8 of a days of praising, this is how much impact it made on me. This was at the time where I had left my job. I had 2 little children in private school. My husband's business was, you know, up and down. I got my money, my little private stash out of my cookie jar, and I took my Volvo wagon down to the sound store and bought myself a 6-disc changer to go in the back of my Volvo wagon. It made that big of a difference. I mean, I went directly home, I went directly to the cookie jar, and I went directly to the store and said, get me that thing that plays music. I'm not kidding. And I started, and it is amazing the difference. It works, y'all. This works. And anybody that hasn't bought into this, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, but I'm telling you, this is an amazing spiritual strategy, gift, tool. It's amazing. Let's talk about, I just want to say that today I have over 4,000 songs on my computer and on my iPod. In fact, I bought the big phone iPod so that I could put all my music on it because it is a lifeline. It's truly a lifeline. Let's talk about three reasons why praise is so powerful. And I say one is it's a faith workout. It's that filter of faith again. What it does is it links us to that greater reality, to the supernatural. Remember we said faith is our link to the supernatural, and that the supernatural is really a greater reality than the here and now. So when you start singing the things that are true, especially when you can't read one more Bible verse. You can't read a Bible verse while you're driving down the road. You can't read a Bible verse while you're chopping onions. You can't read a Bible verse while you're taking a shower. But boy, you can sing. You can sing the truth. And so that exercises your faith. And just a fabulous verse to go with that is Romans 4:20 from the Amplified, talking about Abraham. It said, no unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Isn't that a fabulous verse? So you want to grow strong in faith? Get yourself some praise music and go after it. It will strengthen your faith in a way that I don't think you can get it in other exercises. I mean, it's just another exercise to do that gets that little muscle in there that you can't get to any other way. Of course, I think rehearsing helps, but I think this is a spiritual dynamic, y'all. It's a Satan stopper. It's a Satan silencer. It says in Psalm 8:2 NIV, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Do you hear that? Even if little children and babies praise, it silences our enemy. That's powerful, y'all. So I know that when I'm feeling harassed, when I'm feeling oppressed, when I can hear every other voice but the voice of truth, if I will turn my music on, I'll tell you, it as long as I've got it going, as long as my mouth is moving, it's better. Now, you may turn it off, and the second you turn it off, he starts up again. But I'm telling you, in my most desperate times, this is what I live on. And I think, I know I'm going a little bit over today, but I think this is so important. I've got a whole tool and technique called adoration that's on the web, that's in part of that free material. I didn't give it to you today because I didn't want to give you too many papers. But if you're not bought into this, get on there and look at it, because it tells you a lot more reasons than I'm about to say. But it is a spiritual dynamic. Just think about how many times, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, it says in Philippians 2:10. So just think about how many times, if you're singing a praise song or a set of praise songs, how many times you say the name Jesus. Well, that got Satan runs. The demons have to bow. And something in your spirit bows too when you sing the name of Jesus. So it is a spiritual thing. The name, I'm thinking of Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And just all these songs are filled with the names of God and the different characteristics of God. So as you sing that, not only are you rehearsing it with your mind, but your spirit is being strengthened and the enemy is being silenced. And the thing I don't think I put on the outline, but I wanted to say is if Jesus is our example of counting on God, listen to what it says in Hebrews 2:12, talking about Jesus. I'm going to read 11 and 12. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, that's Jesus and us, are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, which is really sweet, saying, this is about Jesus, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Y'all, Jesus Christ sang the praise of his Father in the midst of the congregation. I don't know if you need another reason. I was so blessed to know that Jesus did that. And then lastly, it's a relationship builder. And that's what we just keep going back and back and back and back to, is that this journey is a relationship. Abiding in the vine is a real intimate relationship. And if you think about the role of music in relationships, just think, don't you have with your childhood best friend, don't you have a song that if you hear it on the radio, it takes you immediately back there? Just think of, now that I've got 4,000 songs, now that I've got, you know, almost 20 years of listening to praise music, I've got hundreds, literally hundreds of memories of times with God that the second that song comes on, it takes me right back there, and it's just as if I was there. I want that for you guys too. I want y'all to hear a song come on and go, oh, I remember the time. It's such a powerful relationship builder. And just think about the tenderness. Let me ask you this question. Who on this earth would you sing to? Kind of vulnerable thing, isn't it? I'll tell you that I've got this little silly factor that I don't know if y'all see that in me, but I am silly enough that I make up songs. I can't carry a tune, which I think kind of makes it funnier. And so I just make up songs, and sometimes there's really a limited number of people that I would do that to. So, okay, if you think about it, so singing is such an intimate thing. Think about who you would sing to. You would sing to back to the baby. Okay, let's say baby every week, okay? Baby. Think about holding that little baby in your arms, if it's your child or your grandbaby, and how tender that is. Singing is very intimate. It's a relationship builder, y'all. And what's really neat is that not only do we get to sing to him, but guess what? When we get good and quiet and empty our minds and choose to listen and let his word abide in us, and open wide our hearts to him and sing to him. If we listen just close enough, you know what the Bible tells us? Is that he sings back. And I'm over time, so I'm going to close with this verse because it's really special. Zephaniah 3:17, and I'm just going to use this as a benediction. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Father, I am blown away by the fact that you love us that much, that you just love us so much, Lord, that you want to be that close to us, that you speak to us, that you have given us spiritual ears to hear your voice, that you've given us the faith that comes just by being your child, and then you want to build that faith and teach us how to live as we listen, Lord, that as we hear you, faith comes by hearing your word. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be so motivated to listen. I pray that we would listen so completely with our minds, with our wills, with our emotions, and that, Lord, we would bring our mouths into agreement, Lord, that I pray that you would just, Holy Spirit, be our remembrancer. Thank you that you've said that you are that in John 14:26, that you will bring, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bring to our mind whatever you've taught us. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that this week you would catch us every single time we speak something that's not in agreement with your word, the truth. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to make the hard choices about what input to take in and then what to speak as output. Father, I pray that you would give us a hunger and thirst to praise you. I pray that it would just be an overflow of the amazing wonder of walking with you, Lord. And I pray that we would have the privilege of hearing you sing over us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us that much. Lord, I pray that you would just take us to a more deep abiding in you and in your word. And we just love you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.